Yeah, I mean it's great. We've had a few people, actually a few people come over the last few weeks. So we had a couple come over from Ireland, and we had three people from the north of the country come down, because we're sort of a holiday area, so we do get people come and visit. So it's been good actually, and it just engaging with them on in the meeting. So it's been great. So. Yeah, we look forward to you coming, and I'll set some time aside to give you some time to.
So sweet of you. I was just very excited. I mean, I don't belong to a church here, so I was just so excited to come to your church because I absolutely adore church, but things are just so different now. It's not the same. So I remember that day when you guys all went in and you were doing the scrolls and all of that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to. This is exactly what church should look like. I need to see this. So I am absolutely so excited to go to your church and meet everybody and just over the moon. I'm just so very excited about it.
It's good, yeah. I mean, one of the things that we feel God wants us to do, is to establish sort of an ecclesia type gathering for people who aren't local, that find it difficult to connect up with a local church or to connect up with a church that is moving in these things, and so we're working it. Obviously, we want it to be relational, so it would have to be mean that we have people here who can hook up with people online and connect up relationally. But if people felt they wanted to be part of what we're doing here, then they would have access to all the church members area and all that sort of stuff. Because I know, not that we want to see people not engage where they are, but actually there are a lot of people who just aren't and can't, and for whatever reason feel it difficult to find somewhere that can mentor them in this sort of stuff. Then we're certainly working on it right now. We believe God has said that we do need to establish a place where people can gather, even if it's not a local place, but there will be given support and encouragement and access to things. And then we can live stream the worship and stuff like that, so people can, even say join in later. They can still, participate in some of the things that we're doing. So,
Well, that would be phenomenal. That, I mean, just to be able to live see you guys, because I've always wondered what this looks like when you do it. Joe says you're not a very large church, which is
no, only a
which
small group of people.
it, but yeah, so that would be really awesome if you guys could start live streaming. Because I try to check out your podcast as much as I can, but yeah, no, this is really exciting. So I don't know if anybody has any questions, but I just wanted to make a comment if nobody wants to jump in.
Carry on.
Okay, so we have a small group and we've done some very interesting things lately. And I don't know what this is like, but I don't know if you ever heard about John Sanford when he talks about the chapel in Colorado. That was the war room to him. And I've heard you talk about the war room. And before this, I had been to like something that I don't know exactly what it was, but it was like a strategy room. It was kind of like just a big boardroom of some sort. And I knew a couple of the people there. But this one was very different because this one had like a, it was more about the nations. So we've engaged that, and it was very interesting because like everything that's going on, as far as Syria and Israel and Iran and all of that stuff, it's like it was interesting because like it seemed like the Lord had somebody from every tribe there, like discussing what was going on. And I didn't really, there was somebody who asked me to come sit next to him, and he was telling me just kind of discussing what was going on, and I just felt like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? Because I don't really. But then, you know, the Lord had been, over the last year, the Lord had put on my heart so deeply these little boys that had been, you know, that they're trained to be, you know, suicide bombers, and it just wrecks me every time I hear of it, because these men who are deceived, obviously, are teaching these little boys to kill themselves. And I just, oh, and so, you know, when they asked me, and I was like, that was the only thing I could think of, were these little boys, because it's just so tremendously, it's just a hard thing for me to even see. It just wrecks me every time I think about it. But anyway, so I thought that was fascinating. And one other thing that I don't really understand why, but the Lord has been taking me to the wine room a lot. So, like, every day this week, he just takes me to the wine room and been drinking a bunch of different people's wine. So I'm not really sure why, but that's been going on. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, there is one of the 12 chancellor's houses is called the Affairs of the Nations, and it's one of the high chancellor's houses. It has, as it sounds, the affairs of the nation go on in there. And I mean, it sounds that, you know, what you experienced was that. You know, I personally have not engaged that, other than knowing that it exists and being there. I've not personally engaged in there as yet. But I know of it, and I know that I have access to it. Now, the fact that you've had access to it indicates, you know, where some of your destiny lies, and some of the reason that you feel strongly about certain things is because it's tied into your destiny. What we have to obviously do then is learn to administrate the affairs of those nations, but we can't just do it because we have a heart to do it. We really need a mandate to do it, and as God's been calling you in there, then, you know, you need to be prepared that there may well be an assignment that is to do with nations. The wine room, you know, again, it's like, whose wine have you been drinking? You know, what is it that they've been engaging me with?
So, well, I always ask for Jesus's, just because his is the best. You know, that's the number one. But this, so, Catherine Coleman was the first person I met in my cloud of witnesses. And I always, and Joan of Arc was another person. And so I've been drinking. I always go, and I'm like, I know to drink their wine, because I've been with them and the Lord has offered me them. So I just, I don't really know if I'm supposed to, but I'm just like, oh, here we go. Yeah. But then, like last week, it was John the Baptist, which I'm like, this can't be right, John the Baptist, because I've met John the Beloved. So I thought, oh, well, maybe, no, he said, no, this is John the Baptist. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And then today, I think it was Ezekiel. But I haven't met Ezekiel or John the Baptist, so I don't know if I was, I'm a little confused, to be honest.
Okay, well, I mean, essentially, the wine room is about the record of people's lives, and you engage with those that are connected to you, or their lives are connected to you in terms of destiny. And if you think of, you know, Joan of Arc, you know, she saved a nation. John the Baptist prepared the way for God to come into a nation. Ezekiel, again, was part of saving the nation in captivity, and in a supernatural way. And so, you know, they all have something in common there. And you have permission to drink anyone's wine, you know, but you tend to get drawn or led to those whose wine would be something, and the cloud of witnesses, those that will invest into your life, those that will trade into you, sow into you, because of the nature of your destiny and your calling. You know, and a lot of people think, oh, it's all a bit highfalutin, isn't it? You know, you can do this and do that. The reality is, it's not about earthly recognition. It's, you know, you can have people hidden all over the world that no one knows, that no one is aware of, and yet are called to a high level of authority in the realm of heaven, into the Chancellor's houses, because they've responded to God, where many others who have very public, recognized ministries may not have responded to the calls that have been issued out, and therefore they're not doing these things. So, you know, to me, it's like I'm not looking for people's earthly resume to give me an indication of what they're able to do in the heavens. It's not like that. It's like it needs to be those who are recognized in heaven and are responding to those heavenly calls to begin to learn how to engage in those places, to engage the cloud of witnesses, to engage the wine room, so that they will be prepared and ready for their assignments and the roles that they have. And you don't get things like necessarily like a download of information. You get spiritually connected, and your spirit receives revelation that you find will prepare you, and you will know things, and you will have insight into things that you didn't before. It's not always a cognitive process. We drink the wine and then, oh, well, I know everything about that person. It's we drink the wine, and the things for their life, our spirit absorbs, and the connections that that person's life has for us become established in us as connections and revelation. You know, so I think, yeah, just keep going with it. Don't try and get too overly analytical with it, but just let your spirit absorb, and you'll find that your spirit will begin to engage and direct you in certain things and certain areas, if that makes sense.
So when you were talking about before, you were talking about a mandate. Now, I do the daily scroll. You know, but is that the same process when you're talking about getting a mandate for this stuff? Because, I mean, honestly, my friend, I think, is a little further advanced than me, but his and my journey seem to be a little different.
Yeah.
And so I find myself like, well, what do I do?
Well, at the moment, you're just having encounters which open up the realms of possibility for you. When you find something of an experience which really touches your heart, then begin to cultivate that desire around the ark. Begin to step into the presence of God and look into what was. Go and look into what does this look like from the eternal perspective of before it got messed up, before sin spoilt it. What is this whole thing in terms of the affairs of the nations or different things that you may be connected to? What does it look like from that perspective? Then your heart and the desires of your heart will begin to be shaped, which will then enable you to receive the authority and the authorization of mandates of then to go and do things. So right at the moment, the desire is being birthed in you, if you like. You're incubating certain things. The more time you spend incubating, the more time you spend engaging in that incubating process, what happens is the authorization for any authority gets released. You can't administrate anything you don't carry in your heart. But we don't want to carry things in our heart from an earthly perspective, because then we can be moved with compassion, but not moved to act in accordance with authority. And a lot of people do get moved with compassion, but
did he freeze or am I frozen?
Mike froze.
Okay.
He's back.
There we go. Yeah. So, yeah, I would suggest that you continue to pursue cultivating the desire so that you begin, as you're around the presence of God, looking in more deeply into the four faces of God's perspective on the things that you're seeing, the kingly, prophetic, apostolic, and the priestly function. You don't just want to come out of the priestly function. Because if you just come out of the priestly function, you're likely to be moved by your emotions rather than moved by God's purposes in things. And some of the prophetic perspective will show you how God is using current situations and things to shape things in the kingdom. And sometimes it's like there are boundaries that have been set already which limit what the enemy is able to do. And we don't want to try and move those boundaries. We want to see God's outworking of the apostolic within it. So, you know, I'd encourage you to just continue to pursue cultivating the desire, and then at some stage you will feel that God will release a mandate. Now you have an authorization to do something, and then you can go maybe back into that room with the different people that are there, or you can go to your mountain and you can begin to administrate things from that mountain. But you will have a mandate to do it rather than a desire or just an emotional response to something. So
I go back there quite frequently, and most often than not I want to sit in the back, you know, just like in the, there's like benches, and I want to sit there just to learn and absorb what's going on. But every time I do that, his name's Sam, and I don't know who he is, but he motions me to come and sit in the chair next to him. So I do. I feel silly doing that because I don't feel qualified. So I've been back there probably every day this week since Monday, which is Thursday. So I haven't gone there today, but I just feel like that's something that I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important that you just go with those directions that your spirit leads you in.
Okay.
You know, just if you feel led and drawn, just go continue to follow that desire.
Okay.
Because that's really what will draw you. You know, there's loads of places I could go every day.
Yes.
But I don't go every day.
Yeah.
Because my spirit doesn't lead me there according to desire. You know, I mean, I used to be very inquisitive. I wanted to find out things. I wanted to go and explore. But I've learned actually to let my spirit direct me of where to go and what to do when I go, rather than just, that'll be interesting, or what's it like there, or, you know. And so I suppose I've grown a little bit in it, and now I just let my spirit, you know, if I need to go and see wisdom, I just feel I need to go and see wisdom. If I feel I need to go to engage in a certain place in the realm of heaven, then I just know that I'm being drawn to engage because I'm sort of connected, I guess, where I've built those connections up. Rather than I wonder what I
should go here and I have to go there and I have to go there.
Yeah. You know. So, you know, that's great. Just keep following.
Okay.
And the spirit just leads you, just keep following.
That's really helpful because sometimes I get just bogged down. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many places I have to go to every day that I just don't have enough time. But just be led by the desire of my heart. That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's great. That's very helpful. Thank you. I don't want to take up all your time, so if anybody has anything.
Okay.
No, that's been very good. It's good learning. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a learning process. You know, it's like we're all learning. We all got L plates on, and that process is an ongoing thing. And sometimes all the excitement of, oh, wow, this place and that place and that place, and you just think, you get overwhelmed with it. But the key is to engage around the arc of God's presence, and there let your heart draw you into those connections. And you know, sometimes I won't, I just won't engage certain places because my heart won't lead me there. You know, and you know, generally I always engage around the arc, and I always engage there to see where I go from there. Because I believe that's where I want to draw near to him. And drawing near to him, I then begin to find that what happens is I resonate. My spirit begins to resonate. Yeah. That's the key. There's a resonation that takes place with my spirit that really connects me to where I should go, you know, and I think that's important, you know, and I think that in itself helps when it comes to the enormity of, okay, I've got seven mountains, and I've got this Venture 3 that I'm on, and I've got this that I'm responsible for, and I've got this that I'm responsible for. How do I juggle all those things? Is it a matter of, I try and keep the plate spinning? No, I just go and get the mandate for which I need to do today. You know, and actually, that's what I'm seeking. What is the will of God for today? What's his will around my life? How then do I engage with that will, so that will then lead me into my heart being open towards it, and then I can be led and guided. And, you know, and I don't ever feel, oh, no, I haven't done this today, because I'm just going to go and get led by my spirit. You know, sometimes I will go and spend a few minutes there and then go and spend more time on my mountain. Majority of times, I spend 90% of my time around the presence of God, around the ark, cultivating desire, and looking to resonate and draw near and have my heart open so he can write things on the tablet of my heart, and 10% of the time administrating that for my mountain. Because I could go to my mountain and think, well, what should I do? What do I need to do? Whereas when I go from having that resonance around the ark, basically I know what to do. I don't even have to think about it. My spirit just releases that. I find myself doing things and saying things because my heart has been connected to what God's purpose is. And sometimes I get a very specific mandate to do this or to do that. Sometimes it's very much, yeah, I've opened my heart and I know I need just now to go and outwork the mandates that I've already got. Because, you know, we've all got mandates that are ongoing, as well as the daily things that we can go and connect up for specifics for the day. You know, and sometimes I'll administer ongoing mandates, and sometimes it will be very clearly, no, this is something specific for today. So yeah, that's really how it works for me. And I think, you know, I spend more time in the relational connection of looking and stepping into him than trying to do things out of just my own desires or the only things I know what to do. So yeah.
I completely agree. Because this is all birthed out of just my passion and desire. Well, actually, no, his passion and his desire for me, how he pursued me.
Yeah.
And that, you know, most of the time I just want to spend with him. I mean, I don't know how many hours a day I do this, but, you know, I find myself just drawn to wanting to be with him. And it's not necessarily around the ark. Like, I spend a lot of time in the garden, yeah, in various places there. But then I'm like, oh, well, I need to go here. I need to do this, and I need to do that. But then my heart just gets drawn to spending time with him. So, however, but it's you know, but then in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, I need, you know, it's that whole performance thing. So it's good. That's really, really helpful just to be, you know, led by the desire. So thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yep.
I have found that same thing when it comes to all the teachings online. You can get so busy listening to all the teachings that you are not experiencing what you're being taught.
Yeah.
And I've had to cut off. Okay, I can do this much, and apply, and no more. I can't, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, again, you get back into that works mentality. You know, it's just I got to listen to this one or that one.
Yeah. Oh sure, yeah. I mean, I got to be honest. I listen to very little of other stuff that's out there because I haven't got time. A and B, I'd rather go and speak to God. To be honest, I mean, it's not to say that when I've got sort of spare time when I'm traveling. Then you know I'll listen to some of Ian's teachings, or you know I'll listen to some things. But generally, I haven't got time to invest in lots of other teachings when I haven't got even you know I'm working at the time to spend more time with God and seeking Him. And you're right, it's the application that's the key. You know, we can listen to thousands of hours of teaching. If we don't apply it, then it's just information. And I think, you know, it is that application that is key. You know, and if we're not living out this as a lifestyle, then it is just works, you know. And that's why the relationship always comes first. You know, and that's why, you know, engaging God in his garden and engaging God in different places, you know, is all about the relationship, which actually then leads on to the responsibility. You know, and when you're sort of more used to it, you know, I sense more clearly now where I need to go, you know, first, you know, once I've engaged God and I've opened my first love gate and I've experienced that, then I'm looking there, okay, what is the revelation now? You know, where do I need to go? You know, do I need to go to the River of Life? I've spent a lot of time recently in the River of Life. You know, because I felt called deeper into it, and I've explored where it goes in a deeper way. I've gone back to the source in a deeper way, and it's been a different experience, because I've almost like spent more time and allowing the time for the revelation of the experience to become deeper. You know, and ultimately, you can do something in 1 minute. Because you've had an hour's worth of engagement with God, than 1 minute of engagement and trying to do something for an hour. It can be so much more powerful and effective when you're coming out of the heart of God and the purpose of God. Now, I do engage around the ark a lot as an intimate place because I can then step into him and look back into eternity. And I've found that that enables me to look into what was. My times in the garden are very much personal about him and me knowing me and me knowing him and just getting his heart and the revelation of who he is. And I love that, you know. But I've found that by engaging and looking back, I can look back into eternity, into his heart. And I've gone back into his heart a few times. And it's just an amazing experience to be in where I was birthed, you know, where I was formed, where he created me, where his thoughts of me still are, you know, and that's an amazing place to engage in as well. But, you know, when it comes to it, there does have to be an application, which is, you know, what his purpose is for me according to my destiny today. You know, my destiny today, sometimes he gives me a mandate to rest and do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, when I get my days off, you know, I get my days off, they don't tend to be sort of days off. You know, I tend to always be looking for something, you know, in terms of engagement. So I usually have my laptop there and I'll be sort of looking for things. Even when I'm just relaxing, I like finding things out, you know. Sometimes he says, no, you have a mandate to do nothing. You know, and I take that seriously, so I don't do anything. you know, I don't actually do any of the things I normally do because I want to just be obedient to what he's asking me to do, you know. And sometimes that will be, hey, just do nothing today. Don't think about anything. Just chill out, you know, and that's great. You know, doesn't do that very often, but when it does, it's that I feel totally just able to relax and just to enjoy the day in a different way, you know. So, yeah.
I had an experience once where he took me back through time, through the foundations of the world, you know, when we were in Jesus, and then back to his heart.
Yeah.
Where I saw myself as this little, I don't even know how to explain it, except for I was like in his hand as like a little wisp of glory.
Yeah.
And then he put me in his heart. It was like reverse, you know, how he would take me, how he took me out of his heart and put me in his hand instead of being, it was like he was looking at me as this little wisp of glory. I was just like, it was really astounding because it was like you could see, you know how like photography goes really fast? You like time-lapse photography? It was like I saw the history of everything in just a moment. And it was like you're trying to like figure out and like you're looking at the history of time, but then you're looking at the history of Jesus because he's the foundation of the world, and then going back to the it was a very overwhelming experience, but that was the realization for me that of how passionately he loved me because I was his heart.
Yeah.
You know, I was a piece of him. I was something he pulled out of himself. And then I went on this journey. And it was just, I mean, when you look at it, think of yourself as like a timeless being. You know, this flesh thing that we wear is so temporal, but we are timeless beings. And I don't even know how to, you know, when you get that revelation, it's not something that you can just understand unless you experience that revelation. And that was that moment for me when I really got that I am an eternal being. I just happened to wear something that's very temporal.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, yeah, that it is an intense place. I mean, you know, I've been there a few times, and for me it was like I began to look back and ask, what did I look like? You know, what do I look like from your perspective? You know, and I saw myself as a being of light. And then I looked deeper into it and I could see all the, like the thoughts of God contained within that light. As you know, when you get a picture of like neurons and synapses firing information in the brain, it felt like all these thoughts of God were firing within the light of who I was, you know, and then I sort of went into that and just felt all the thoughts of God around me. I mean, it's home, you know, it's where we came from, it's where we were formed, you know, it's where his thoughts about us brought us into existence and where we can go back and, you know, and engage it, you know, and it is, I certainly found it somewhat difficult to describe, as you say. So it's a difficult place to describe exactly, but just connect, just feeling totally at home there, you know. And I love to engage with the thoughts of God, you know, that sort of Psalm 139, and you know, it's like all those things, the vast sum of the thoughts he has for us, you know, and just to connect them, you do get that connection with eternity, and that's where we're from, and that's where we're going, and okay, we're in the middle of that right now, learning for what we will be doing in that. But the more we look back into it, the more we can bring that into the is of today, and the more that will shape what will be tomorrow. If we're shaped by our soul and our body, then tomorrow we'll carry on doing much the same as we did yesterday and the day before. But if we're shaped by those thoughts of eternity and the things of God that come out of eternity and we're connecting with them, and then we begin to walk according to that today, our tomorrow will be different. You know, we will write history.
That's a statement there that, that's a really amazing statement right there. Can you say that again just one more time?
Well, how I like to put it is, you know, if you look into what was and manifest what was into what is, then you will begin to change what will be, and you will actually write history by bringing the end and the beginning together every day, so that every day is a new beginning. The end of one day is the beginning of the new, but what we want is not what is formed out of our flesh and our body and soul, but what is coming from the thoughts of God. So the more time we spend cultivating that, looking into it, the more we can walk in that today, and that will change tomorrow. Tomorrow is not written in stone. We get to, in a co-heirship with Christ, create the future. Yeah, and so the more we can actually look back into what the future was when there was no sin, when Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, and look into God's desire for this world, the governmental spheres that we're called to, whatever, and then begin to see how we can affect that in our life and then start to administrate that into the future, then we will be able to write restoration, you know, if you like. You know, it's not happened yet in our linear time expression, but we can bring eternity into today so that it will then be manifest into tomorrow. That's the sort of way I sort of like to think about it.
Really, really good. That I'm going to have to just meditate on that for a while, because there's a lot of revelation right there. Thank you.
Yeah. And it is all about cultivating desire. You know, if I continually look into his desire and his will and purpose, then it begins to shape how I think, so that then I begin to speak and act out of what his purpose was, not mine, or not what the world's is at the moment. I'm not constrained by the restrictions of what is, because I can see into what was to change what is and to change what will be. I only have to align myself and resonate with what was. You know, and that's why I wanted to see myself. What did I look like as a being of light that contains the encoding of my destiny within the light of who I am in my spirit, and so that then I'm not constrained by what my soul looks like and what my body looks like, but actually I'm going to think about myself as that eternal light being, and then my spirit that is that light will begin to change and transform my soul into alignment, because my soul will come into order with a higher authority. You know, and my soul actually likes that now. You know, it doesn't react or resist. It knows that, hey, this is the real us, if you like. You know, all those lies and all that stuff of how I used to think, now I'm starting to think like God thinks about me. You know, and that changes how I live in the years now, time. Because I'm starting to live according to what he thinks about me, not what the world has said about me or circumstances or trauma has caused in my life, but actually what he thinks. And then when I begin to think like he thinks, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, then I start to walk that out. You know, and that means that as I'm walking that out, I begin to change the world around me for tomorrow. You know, and we get to be part of the bringing the freedom of the glory of the sons of God into creation to bring restoration of the whole of creation back into its original purpose. Because we can look back into, again, not just what we look like, but what does creation look like from God's perspective when there was no darkness? You know, when there was no dark matter, when there was no dark energy, when everything was light. You know, what will that look like now? And how do we bring that transformation into the now of my life and the governmental spheres that I'm given? And, you know, we have creative abilities way beyond that which most people imagine or think. And our creative abilities are to call creation back into order and to reform it and shape it after the pattern of heaven, which is why it's great to hang around in the gardens and hang around in the realms of heaven, because that's what we were called to terraform things into, a place where we can walk with God in the cool of the day, you know, a place where we can create things like the naming of the animals and the shaping of things, because that's what we are as co-heirs with Christ, you know, of his kingdom. I mean, our creative abilities, you know, are growing, and when we actually begin to speak from the overflow of the heart, that we think according to what is in relation to how he sees us, then what we will say will have immediate effect and authority. And we will be able to speak and change things and create things and to shift things. You know, Jesus said, you know, tell that mountain to move and it will move. Well, no one really actually believes that is actually true, but it is. We have the ability to say to that and say move, because when we are involved in setting up cities of refuge on the earth and these gardens of God on the earth and habitations of God or revival centers, whatever you're going to call them, we will have to operate under the rules of heaven, not earth. We will have an overlap, an opening, where the atmosphere is completely cleared over us to see heaven manifested on earth. And so we will not be operating under the laws of sin and death, but of the spirit of life in Christ. And we will not be under the laws of the economy of the world or any of those things. Therefore, we will have the ability. We will need water. We shift a water course to produce water. You know, I mean, I was talking to someone the other day, and they went around the presence of God, and they really felt called to a nation, and they felt called to administrate something in a nation, and they felt called to administrate water in that nation. And so they went to their mountain, they started to call things into being. Within a day or so, this massive lake appeared in the desert in that nation. Now, this person sort of said, well, do you think that's just a coincidence? And I think, no, I don't think that was just a coincidence. I think you responded to the heart of God, and you responded to a mandate, and you released something, and then God responded. There may have been a few other people who he also called to do that, I don't know, but you responded, and actually there was the lake. And you can go online and you can see, you know, this huge lake appeared in the middle of nowhere, you know. And it's like that. We will be able to do things like that. But we're learning right now to get to see ourselves, think about ourselves, speak about ourselves from his eternal perspective, not the natural perspective, so that he can entrust us with that. I mean, if he entrusted with every single believer right now the ability that what they said would happen instantly, what chaos there would be. Because a whole lot of people would be saying things out of their flesh and out of, you know, and there would be disaster, which is why he is not releasing that to everybody and why he's training people and drawing people to be close to him, so that we will only say the things that he says, just like Jesus. We will only do the things that he does, even though we would have the capacity to do anything. Like Jesus, he didn't. He chose to only do what he saw the Father doing out of relationship and intimacy, and it's that relationship and intimacy which will release the abilities to be able to operate with that level of authority as sons. Yeah, we have to learn how to operate in lordship and kingship, but ultimately sonship is creative ability. Yeah, and it's coming. Yeah, so it's good stuff.
That's exciting. I love that testimony of the lake. What nation was that in?
Somewhere in Africa. I'm not sure which one, but
that's
you can.
Amazing. That's exactly. Yeah. You know, I just believe. You know, and this is the kind of. In the last few months, I've gone through some tremendously stress, a lot of stuff. But out of that, I came, the Lord, and we have this little thing we say. I says, "You are the God of the impossible." Mm. Yeah. And I am the girl with outrageous faith who believes to the impossible.
Absolutely.
So, because that's what he's proven himself to me.
Yeah. You know,
that's who he is to me. He's put me in impossible situation after another, after another, after another. And he's like, well, do you believe? And I'm like, yes, I believe. And so I'm like, okay, God, I want to move a lake. I want to do this. That stuff just thrills my heart because I believe that. I mean, I believe the word as it's written. So when it talks about the mountain moving, we've heard all of these things. I'm like, no. That he meant move that mountain. I love that. That's so awesome.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, we're beginning to see these things in their infancy, if you like, and we're learning to become more mature, and he will entrust us with greater levels of authority once we're faithful with the little levels of authority that he's given us and only doing the things we need to do, not having to show off and show people what we're doing so that people will recognize us and they'll think better of us because, wow, we're doing all these things. You know, it's like, you know, if I was doing those things and seeing, I wouldn't be testifying to it personally online. I want to testify to other people's things because it's about others and it's about what God is doing through others, not what he's doing through me. Now, you know, and I think we've got to be careful that it doesn't become a self-promoting thing. You know, and the whole desire in this is for glorification of God. And that God gets the honor and the glory and the dominion in all that we're doing. And therefore, you know, it's very much about engaging in these things and beginning to start to believe. You know, actually to really start to believe what God says. You know, and we get lots of little tests along the way. You know, there are lots of little things he gives us to do to see, are we going to be obedient? Are we going to stop when he says stop? I mean, how many times have you heard people prophesy and they start off in the spirit and they end up in the flesh?
Yeah.
Because they just don't know when to stop. And all of a sudden they're prophesying out of their own heart. When actually they started off in the spirit, they just didn't stop. When God stopped speaking, they carried on. And we have to be just like Jesus. He felt free to go into a situation and just heal one person when there were a whole lot of other people there who wanted healing. Because that's what he saw the Father doing and that's what he was authorized to do. There was no condemnation or guilt because he was free to only do and therefore not be pressured. Part of the problem is when people start moving in miracles and moving in some of the miraculous things, they get pressured by people to perform. And, you know, I find it's hard sometimes not to respond to people's desires. Now, if someone comes to me and asks me for healing, then of course I'll pray for them for healing because that's what Jesus did. Those who came to him, he prayed for. But I wouldn't go and do anything that he wasn't asking me to do. You know, and sometimes people will say, oh, no, you know, when I was in the States, you know, or a few times, oh, will you give me a word? Will you prophesy over me? And I just had to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not mandated to do that. You know, what I will do is let's step in to heaven and let God give you a word about yourself so that you can hear him for yourself rather than you coming for me so I can hear him on your behalf. And several times I had to say, I can't do that. I'm not authorized to do it. You know, and then one guy came, and this is funny, and it was like I was staying in the house in Canada, and he came and says, oh, you know, what do my angels look like then? You know, and he was just joking. You know, he was sort of trying to wind up. But immediately I could see. And so I told him, you know. And then he was like, oh. But I just felt immediately authorized to do that. Whereas because it was just how it worked, you know. But sometimes I don't feel authorized to do things. Even though people would love me to do certain things, I'm just not authorized, and I'm not going to do it if I'm not authorized to, you know.
That's really good, because I have for me, it's this thing, it's like, especially with Christians, I look at sickness being such an illegal action, you know, and so I'm like, no, it can't be here. So I don't know if that's probably me operating out of my flesh, just because it just makes me mad. You know, a sickness makes me mad. It's an illegal action with Christians. And you know, I have seen so many radical healings. I'm like, well, let's just do this. But I probably need to approach that a little differently.
Well, in a sense, if your mandate is to minister healing, then that's fine. But you just need to make sure the specifics are, what am I authorized to do today? And that might be heal anybody who comes and asks. Or when you see a situation, you get moved like Jesus. Jesus was moved with compassion. Literally, it meant,
right,
in the Aramaic, it meant moved in his guts. And sometimes God moved him because of what he saw. And that's totally legitimate. It just mustn't be coming from our flesh, but coming out of the spirit that moves us. You know, and
it just pulls on my heart when I see sick people, because I know it's not God. It's not God. Yeah, it's got to be something else, and that just makes me mad. So, but I do. I mean, I've seen and the Lord has spoken to me about people I don't even know on the other side of the country. And he's like, this guy has stage 4 cancer. Will you pray for him? Will you call him? And they miraculously, the Lord sets up the connection to talk to people I don't even know. But I see such radical things, and I think it's my, and I, like I said, I don't know if it's my flesh or my heart, but I just can't stand sickness.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, what you're saying is, make sure that that's the mandate, not just, because compassion aspect.
If your destiny, scroll is to eradicate sickness, then you're gonna be moved when you see it. So. You know, I wouldn't be concerned too much about that type of thing.
Okay.
Because that's obviously something that is part of you and who you are. And therefore that enables you to operate in that. In a situation where, you know, someone is you're not sure, then it's a different thing, you know. But when you're moved like that, then I would just, you know, go with that. Don't be too concerned with that, because you don't want to shut down that which God has put in you. But what you mustn't be doing is pressurized to do that when other people are pressuring you rather than you're moved. And I think that's what I'm saying. Sometimes people can pressure us, and we need to be sensitive there to make sure we're not coming out of that which is other people's pressure, rather than knowing that God has authorized us in that situation. But you can just ask a quick, hey God, do you want me to do this? You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, a few years back, I had been ministering at one time pretty much full time, and then the Lord took me through a season where I sat down and was under his tutelage. And I had a man come to me and tell me that I was wasting my gifts, and that I was going to be judged for that. And it was the Spirit of God that raised up in me. And I looked at him square in the eye and I said, and how much time have you spent praying about this? And he says, well, I haven't. And so that told me right then and there, you know, that was a judgment against me. And, you know, where I was where I was supposed to be.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And we're always going to get, you know, that sort of religious people who one way or another try and put us into a box or try and get us to act according to what they think. You know, and Jesus could not be put in a box. And, you know, God does not want us to be in a box. You know, he wants us to be free to do everything he's calling us to do, but only to have to do those things he's calling us to do, and no more and no less. And that's the key to pursuing this on a sort of daily basis, is just knowing that you're flowing, connected with heaven, flowing, living in dual realms, because ultimately then you are connected and flowing from the position that you're in God, you know, which is a lifestyle, which is great, you know, I love it. Yeah. Okay, well, let's...